Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Petros Papadakis, he really needs no introduction. Man of the world, radio host in Los Angeles, television, college football, TV analyst, friend of this show, son of John Papadakis, who sounds a little bit like Frank Sinatra when he's singing. How are you doing, Petros?
Hi, John. I'm doing okay. Everything's going okay, but everything's changing constantly, as it always is, so trying hard to ride the wave, but it's hard not to get pulled under from time to time.
Let me ask you about that, because we are talking about that off the top of the show. You know, I've always guarded this as, like, and I want to say up front, I don't consider, like, racism a political issue. Like, racism is, like, a human rights issue. We've talked about stuff like that, but I always try to guard this show and keep the politics out of it. Left, right, I don't care if you're voting for president, all that stuff. But I'm finding it harder and harder these days. What do you guys do with your show in L.A.?
Well, I mean, there's two of us, so, and we're vastly different people. And I like literary fiction. Matt likes nonfiction, if that's a good description. You know, I know you're a writer. So we feel differently about things, I think, on their face, and we have very different backgrounds. So for me, our show has always needed a very lighthearted tone. And even though I played football, I try not to analyze football like I'm talking down to people. I think that's something very dangerous that happens with analysts these days. And a lot of them walk a fine line between what they think is brilliant and what really is just browbeating the viewer when there's pictures to be seen and cameras that are working and are, frankly, a lot more interesting showing the pictures than what you have to say. That kind of stuff, you know, we've just tried to avoid.
Is it harder? Go ahead, Petros.
It's hard, look. I mean, it's hard because I live in the most locked down city in the country. And, you know, I'm a college football analyst. So, you know, you're looking around, just like the guys that play at SC and the guys that are playing at Oregon, and you see Austin Peay in Central Arkansas playing and being celebrated. And you can't help but be frustrated for the players and for yourself. So if you say that you're frustrated on the air, you'll get a wave of tweets and texts and correspondence calling you a Trumper and a right-wing person and giving you the stats of people that are dead and just really being completely insufferable because you had an opinion of frustration. You know, I come from a small business background. It makes me sick to see people losing their businesses every single day as this continues. I know it's for a reason, but I think it's okay to question that as well. But on the air, I try to be lighthearted about it and sarcastic, and we both make a real effort to avoid it. Because then again, if you say something about something that made you uncomfortable, maybe a gathering or something like that, then you get a bunch of other people on the other side tweeting you sheep emojis. You know, I took a picture of myself with a mask that the freaking Chargers sent me. And I got, you know, most of the response was negative, like, you sheep, what are you wearing a mask for? And it's like, oh my God, you know. So for us, because there's two of us, it's really a no-winning proposition. Now, a guy who has a lot of success taking a political stance and pushes back a lot is Clay Travis, as you know. And he's on the iHeart frequency like I am, and I go on his show. We don't talk a lot of politics, We talk about football and we talk about LA, but I go on his show once a week for, you know, ever since he started it. And I get a lot of pushback on that. Like, you know, I'm going to have to cancel you because you talk to that guy. And, you know, that makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like anybody telling me who I can talk to and who I can't talk to and who I can't share ideas with and reason with. So that part of it is a real turnoff. So, I mean, I feel dark a lot of the day, but the other 21 hours, it's hard to fight off the frustration. But for the 3 or 4 hours we're on, I try to keep it as lighthearted as possible and provide that, because I don't think anybody really cares, you know, who I vote for or don't vote for, or what I really think politically. I don't think that's what they're tuning in for me especially.
I feel the same way. Petros Papadakis is with us at the old P on Twitter. He's a good follow. Why has USC not gotten its act together? Like, is that, and I know you rail on them. Do they love you or hate you over there?
They want me to die in a fire. I'm sorry, that's insensitive, but it's unfortunate, because as much as I don't care and kind of enjoy the villain role, you know, the Phantom of the Opera dropping a chandelier kind of role or exposing the masquerade, it's really hurt my father, and it's very meaningful to my father to have an association with the school, and that's a desire that has grown over the years, and the way I've been on air has kind of eliminated all favor for my dad. And it's sad, because he has nothing to do with it. It's a punishment for me. And that's okay. You know, I mean, he's a big boy, and he understands as well. But, I mean, the simple answer to your question is, USC, why can't they get their act together? I mean, I can answer that with a question. Why aren't they pushing back like the other premier programs in the country that are shut down, especially Ohio State? Like, that's what keeps the Big Ten going. SC is supposed to keep us going on the West Coast like that. And somehow the program's much more comfortable stuck in neutral. I mean, Clay Helton does great when he doesn't have to play games. They can put out hype videos and have rappers come visit the team and really celebrate recruiting. Once they actually play in the games is when the heat starts to be on. And the guy's been on a hot seat for 5 years. But it's a long answer, but it starts with Pete Carroll becoming out of control and creating the sanctions, and them trying to continue Pete Carroll's era with coaches that clearly weren't ready for the responsibility, both fired in the middle of the season, Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, Pete Carroll proxies or proteges. And then they started to feel like they could, and right when around Lane Kiffin, those guys were hired because the athletic department, whether it was Pat Hayden, Mike Garrett, Lynn Swan, what a joke, and even now Mike Bone, all of those people that's been the head coach at USC are there because they can be controlled by the athletic department because of what happened with Pete Carroll and him causing some of the worst sanctions since SMU. So they made their own bed. And, you know, you don't hire Urban Meyer or Bob Stoops just for that guy to coach. I mean, you hire him to hire Lincoln Riley and to hire Ryan Day and to keep your program relevant, like the great assistants that came through USC in the golden age of USC football. And it's just not happening. And they're not serious about it, clearly. So I wish they'd just be honest and say they're not serious about football there anymore. I mean, it's very clear with how much they pay the head coach and who's the head coach. So that's what's wrong with USC. I'm sorry for the long answer.
No, and you know what? I find it really interesting, because I think it's symptomatic of a larger problem in that they would get their eye off the ball. They get criticism from you, right? That is justifiable criticism. Former team captain who's upset and frustrated with the trajectory of the program is speaking out. And instead of saying, you know what, he's right, and getting back to fixing it, they instead turn their energy towards what? Alienating your father who played there? I mean, that in itself tells me they have their eye off the ball.
I mean, on the air in Oregon, I mean, I don't care. I'll tell you, they've gone a lot further than that. They've tried to spread rumors about me and my personal life. They tried to tell lies about me, calling me a drunk. I mean, just ridiculous things that aren't true, you know, just to get people to leave me alone, or they leave them alone about me. And I've seen them do that with much more reputable people, great coaches and people that they've cut ties with over the years because they found what they were saying unsavory. The truth is, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If Pete Carroll or a guy like Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC right now, you bet your ass they'd at least be pushing back and fighting for the West Coast, kind of like you see Scott Frost and Harbaugh and the people at Ohio State fighting. They just wouldn't take this laying down. But they don't have that, you know. But if USC had Pete Carroll, they'd still be in the same hole that they created for themselves in the first decade of this century by, I mean, trust me. I mean, I know the NCAA did USC dirty, and USC has a lot to complain about. But if there was ever a lack of institutional control, it was USC under Pete Carroll, for God's sakes. I witnessed it in person. I mean, that stuff happened for a reason. And they pushed back against the NCAA for so long and dragged their feet for so long that the governing body came down on them. And Pete Carroll wouldn't allow. He was too powerful. And he wouldn't allow the athletic department to just do what everybody else does when the NCAA gets you. Put your hat in your hand and apologize and take a sanction, a very small slap on the wrist. USC wouldn't do that. And between that and the insolence of Reggie Bush and all these different things, it ruined a generation of USC football, more than one generation now that you look at it.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis, college football television analyst, radio show host in Southern California. The Big Ten looks like it's probably going to move towards conditionally approving starting the season in October. They're talking about October 10th if they can meet certain criteria. Will that cause the Pac-12 to get off its butt?
No, nothing will, because there's no will. I mean, we don't have, again, I'm speaking from the most locked down city in the country, although I am in gridlock traffic right now, so figure that out. You know, it's a wild kind of concept, because that just doesn't even feel, maybe it's different in Eugene, you know, where they had so much promise this year. There doesn't feel like there's a public will at all to play where I live. There's more of a public will to play high school football and further these guys' career in Clemson and in Alabama, guys that are California players born and bred, than there is to play college football. So I don't think it will get the Pac-12 off their butts, although it might, because as you've always documented, the Big Ten is the big goose and the Pac-12 is the little tiny baby bird behind it, just following everything the Big Ten does. So if that's the case, I hope so. Maybe I'll get a few games to call and I can dig myself out of a hole. But beyond that, I'm not hopeful. You know, the news changes so rapidly every day. And when I hear certain criteria, it just makes me think about the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor of California that make these goals, and then these counties reach the goals, and then they move the goalpost and tell you you can't put your kids in school, which is not fair. I mean, it's just not fair to just tell people these are our goals, and when they're reached, to change the rules. So I don't trust any of these. I never liked local politicians. To go back to your original question, I've always hated putting them on the air when somebody wins a championship or the Dodgers are in the World Series and you have to sit there and do this masturbation deal with the mayor. It's always been awful. And it's no different now. I don't feel any differently about it now. And I feel badly for all of us in California with the way a lot of this is being handled. That's an answer for you.
The NBA playoffs, the more I watched the Lakers, the less I liked them. What's going to happen if the Clippers knock the Lakers out?
Well, you know, it'll be intriguing, but I don't know. Like, we'll have to talk again, not to rebook myself on the show. Don't tell Adriana. But right now, the NBA playoffs kind of feel like the Rams coming here which is like we as a media are force feeding it to our constituents and telling them how much they should care about this. We're doing that thing with the stadium too, to be honest. I mean, we're trying to sell a stadium that no one can go to. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's how the bubble playoffs feel right now. Whereas the Dodgers, I mean, they're in Chavez Ravine. You can see it. You can hear it. And, you know, a certain portion of the population in this town is just triggered in a very positive way when the Dodgers are great. And they've been great for a long time. But, you know, maybe it'll build into a pyramid when they do reach each other, when and if they do reach each other. And I will let you know if the city is aflame with excitement at that point. But right now, the flame of it has dwindled to an ember.
I find it interesting that you're in traffic and you say lockdown. Like, what, are people just ignoring it? Where's everybody going?
That's a great question. You know, traffic is different in the city than it was before. I mean, what took an hour and 20 minutes takes 55 minutes to 50, 45 minutes now, which is just gross because there's still traffic. But it is interesting. Like, I saw something the other day where the WHO was like, yeah, you know, we've done a good job with this coronavirus, but, you know, we've got to keep this as the new normal because of the environment. It's like, wait, what? You know, wait a minute. that was an interesting pivot. But for those of us that feel like, you know, I have a radio partner, and production is a big part of what we do on the radio. And I just couldn't look those people in the eye if I wasn't driving to work every day through this, you know.
Yeah.
And when it first started in March, it did feel like I Am Legend or Vanilla Sky, you know, or the Bob Dylan song Talking World War III Blues. You really felt like you're the only person out there. but now it's a little bit different.
Petros, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time for us, and we'd love to get your dad back on. Thanks for joining us.
Well, anything that you need and the people of Oregon need, I will be happy to provide, and we'll talk soon, John. Thank you so much, and thanks to everybody for listening to my drivel for the last 20 minutes.
Keep up the fight. Petros Papadakis, leave it here. Today's big splash comes out of the Big Ten Conference. Dan Patrick reporting that the Big Ten Conference could be considering an October 10th start to the season. President Trump saying that the ball's on the 1 yard line. Nobody knows if that means your own one or the other team's one. Also, now Bill Moose, the Nebraska athletic director, coming out and telling a reporter who covers Nebraska that there's no truth to the October 10th start date, that they're talking about a number of start dates. Keep an eye on that. Of course, it's being politicized. All right, 1 o'clock hour is going to be great. We're going to talk to Kenny Jacoby of USA Today. We're going to take some phone calls. I've got great sound. You've got all the great sound from all around. We're going to let Alabama Adriana get going earlier in the show. I thought she got going late yesterday and was terrific.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.